This program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Joanna LaForgia for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Southern Living. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the May 2026 issue of Southern Living Magazine. And today, we're going to finish a stroll through Dripping Springs, Texas, which is in the hill country of Texas. And then we want to get to the Grumpy Gardener, as we usually do in our second episode of the month. And then we'll go on to some barbecue legends if we have time. Otherwise, we'll do that in the next episode. The cover of this magazine, it features, we're looking into a living room that's of tones of sage green and celery green. Looking out through it, there's a bay window in the background and very leafy trees. And there's rattan furniture, mahogany entryway. It's a double doors with some lacy wrought iron across the top. It's more thoroughly discovered. This cover is more thoroughly described in our previous issue, our May 1st issue episode of this podcast. Top to bottom, the print reads, Southern Living, the heart of a home, radical renovations and soulful makeovers, Apalachicola, Florida. And across the bottom, May 2026, Southern Living 60 years. They're celebrating their anniversary this year. Listeners of 60 years. The next barbecue legends, it's time for tea sandwiches, and a food lover's guide to Charlotte. All right, and we're going to get to the Grumpy Gardener now, which is, of course, in this magazine is divided into four sections, in season, at home, the South, and the kitchen. And the Grumpy Gardener is a regular feature in the at-home section. So, we will start now. And it usually starts with some kind of a joke, a cartoon, as here. Grumpy is sitting at his desk and looking dismayed while a squirrel is peeking out from the window. And there's a hanging plant in his hat. It's a broad-rimmed hat that's hanging on the knob of his ladder-backed chair. And he's sitting at his laptop, and he's grimacing at it, and there's a cup of coffee at his side. And at the bottom, there's a cartoon of a man is shopping, and there's a woman standing before, saying something. And the man is pointing to some flowers, and the flowers have some are yellow flowers, orange flowers, and pink flowers, and there's some hanging baskets. So this is a nursery. We're in a nursery, and the signs say flowers for prodigies, flowers for average folks, and then it says flowers for dimwits in the pink, blush pink petunias. And there's a man pointing to the flowers, and he has a cart, and there's some soil on the bottom of the cart. He's wearing green shorts and a long-sleeved white shirt and some glasses, and they're white in the middle, so you don't really see his eyes. These are cartoons. He's got brown hair and light skin, and there's a dog at the top of his cart. The soil's on the bottom. There's a dog at the top. It's a little bulldog that is a coffee color, and the bulldog is shuddering in fear, looking at a taller woman, and she is describing something. She has a bag on her shoulder, handbag on her shoulder. She's wearing long brown trousers and a lavender long-sleeved shirt. We only see her back. Her brown hair is in a bun. And the caption of the cartoon says, Walt, if you point me to the dimwit table again, I'll smack you. Okay. At home, dear Grumpy, why are flowers so hard to grow? Everything I plant looks terrible. Signed, Felicia. And this, listeners, is by Steve Bender. He is our grumpy gardener. At the risk of sounding grumpy, oh, what the heck, I'll ask you some questions. Do you ever water your flowers? If not, you should. They all need moisture, and some require more than others. Shriveled blooms look terrible. Do you give them the right amount of light? You should. Some like sun. Some prefer shade. If you plant sun lovers in the shadows, they'll look terrible. What's the soil like? Is it loose, well-drained, and rich in organic matter? That's good. Or is it chock full of broken asphalt, rusty nails, and plastic bags? That's terrible. Do you pick options that grow well in your area? If you live in Manitoba and plant peonies, they'll do great. If you're located in Corpus Christi, Texas, and choose lupines, they'll look terrible. Finally, where do you get your gardening advice? If it's from me, that's smart. If it's from sketchy internet posts with headlines like seven flowers that all pigeons fear, that's terrible. Pitiful peonies. What could be wrong with my peonies? The buds dry up and don't open. Some of the stems have wilted and fallen over. This sounds like the handiwork of a fungus called Botrytis blight. Or it might be, listeners, Botrytis blight. Let me spell it. It's Botrytis blight. It spores over winter in plant debris and infects new peony shoots as they pop up from the ground in spring. Once symptoms appear, the bloom season is ruined and your attention must turn to preventing a repeat performance the following year. To do this, cut all their foliage to the ground every fall and throw it out with the trash. Next, spray your peonies in spring according to the label directions with a fungicide called Daconil. It's capital D as in David, A-C-O-N-I-L. Apply it to new shoots just as they emerge and then repeat every 2 weeks until June. Finally, mulch beneath your peonies in spring to cover up any spores on the ground. And then in parens, he says, listeners, save this page. So, listeners, you don't need to be concerned about that because you will always have this podcast if you ever need to refer back to it on our website, ncreadingservice.org. All right, to continue with our last two questions, getting cheeky. I came across an advert for a hummingbird flower called Kiss Me Over the Garden Gate. I had never heard of it and am concerned it might be an invasive, non-native species more deserving of the name Spank Me Over the Garden Rail. Sorry, I had to do that. What say you? Signed, Tom. Kiss Me Over the Garden Gate, Latin name Persicaria orientalis, is an old-fashioned pass-along plant favored by Thomas Jefferson and friends in Virginia. Although not native to the U.S., it hails from eastern Russia and Asia. It is not horribly invasive like other members of its genus. This tall, upright annual grows 4 to 5 feet in height from seeds produced by long, pendant red flowers. Seedlings don't transplant well, so they must be sown in place outdoors, preferably near a garden gate where they will provide a spanking good show. Leggy Rhody. Our rhododendron has gotten really tall and leggy. How do we trim it back without killing it? When is a good time to do this? Signed, Michelle. It's always a good time not to kill something, Michelle, with the exception of cockroaches, feral hogs, fire ants, and accordion players. I'm just kidding about that last one. Squeezebox musicians are shamefully underappreciated, and I will not rest until one is finally inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That goes double for Styx and Jethro Tull. Prune your rhododendron right after it finishes blooming. Use shears or loppers, not hedge trimmers. Cut back any wayward or too tall stems to the points where they join with others below them. Don't just create leafless stubs. And finally, listeners, Grumpy's Gripe of the Month. Most popular DIY solutions to everyday garden problems share two things. First, they're free or really, really cheap. Second, they require scant research, expertise, time, and effort. So it is with the miraculous insecticide called boiling water. How many of you dispatch fire ants by pouring scalding water on the mounds? I understand the appeal. Everyone I know has a stove, a pot, and water to boil. But this seldom succeeds. If you don't kill the queens deep below the ground, they just lay more eggs and the mounds return. Plus, you end up immolating earthworms, beneficial soil microbes, and the surrounding tall grass. Tell the truth. The reason you do this is not because you think it works, but because ants stung you and you want payback. Tisk, tisk. Haven't you heard? Vengeance is a dish best served cold. Get the joke there. And that's our Grumpy Gardener for this month, listeners. And listeners, now we'll return to our stroll through Dripping Springs, Texas, which is in the hill country of Texas. And there's a photograph on this page. We're going to continue. We'll just reread the last paragraph we read in the last episode just to get situated. But first, we have a photo of Lucky Arrow Retreat, which is perched on 15 quiet acres. And what we're looking at here, listeners, is a tent. It's an octagonal tent shaped like an octagon. It's white, and it's got some plastic-covered windows with some gold. You can't really see through the windows, except we're looking through an open door to the back window, which you can see through, and you can see the trees. It's surrounded by some trees here with some short-leaved moss green and lichen green trees. And so this tent, it has a little light in the center from the ceiling, from the peaked ceiling of the tent. And it is an orange sunset color with a little light bulb in the middle. And there's that oval frame around the square window in the back. It does seem to be wooden, though. It's not a flimsy structure, this tent. And it does seem to be a bit substantial. There's the door is wooden, and there is a door sill as well. So the door is open, welcoming to us, and we're facing in the back, just beneath that window we mentioned that looks out the back. There's a sofa. Oh, it's a bed. Excuse me. It is a double bed. It's got a white bedspread, and it has a little bench at the foot of the bed. And at the head of the bed, there are some pillows that are standing up against the headboard. And they are of café au lait and a regular coffee color, brown. And then a teal blue, like ocean, kind of like the ocean of the Florida Keys, a square blue pillow. On the open door, we have a flag. And oh my gosh, of course, it's the state flag. It's the Lone Star state flag, which is blue on one end, and it has a white star on it. And then to the right of the blue, there is a horizontal white and a horizontal red panel. And then we also have a picture of a salad highlighting in-season vegetables at Tilly's restaurant at Camp Lucy. And that is on some porcelain, blue and white, colonial blue and white plates. It looked like they were homemade by a potter. They have, because I haven't seen in them quite like this before, this shape. And it appears to be arugula that we're looking at here, arugula and tomatoes and some very thinly sliced radishes. And there's a fork at the side of the plate. There's a bowl sitting on the larger round flat plate. And the fork is just beneath the bowl, leaning on the edge of the round plate. Warm welcome. The closeness of the community is easy to sense upon arrival. Storefront flyers that are posted all across town beckon with opportunities to experience something new with the help of a local expert. Try guitar lessons at the music venue Hudson's on Mercer Street, or baking classes at the Heirloom Flower House, Barton Springs Mill, and even magic, quote-unquote, lessons at the spiritually inclined Sacred Moon Herbs, an invitation I come across while strolling historic Mercer Street, where some businesses are housed in century-old limestone storefronts that date from its founding era. I decide to purchase a crystal for my most mystical friend, and while bagging it up, the cashier tells me the best way to deal with Scorpios. And since that has a capital S on Scorpios, listeners, my guess is that the listener is referring to those born under the astrological sign Scorpio. The earnestness of these calls to join is refreshing compared to the distance currently felt in many places, where the disconnection can make neighbors feel like strangers. There's no such thing here. Our repeat customers who live nearby are everything to us, though it's always fun to see weekenders trying our pastries for the first time, says Abby Love, the owner of Abby Jane Bake Shop, next door to Barton Springs Mill. Open since 2021, after she relocated from Austin and its restaurant industry, her bakery doubles as a town meeting place with artfully laminated goodies. Don't skip the seasonal kolache. It's K-O-L-A-C-H-E, kolache. During my visit, she has a heavenly blueberry sausage flavor. And breads prepared with heirloom flowers from the nearby mill. It makes all the difference in taste and transparency, she added. I can know who milled it, on what day, and which farm it came from. Travelers now flock to the area to take advantage of the hill country's natural beauty and outdoor havens like the Hamilton Pool Preserve, with its idyllic aquamarine grotto, and the West Cave Outdoor Discovery Center, where you can take a guided hike to an ancient cave hidden in a canyon behind a 40-foot waterfall. A 30-minute scenic drive northwest of Dripping Springs, Pedernales Falls cascades down wide, tiered limestone formations shaped by millennia of water flowing from its namesake river, requiring strategic hiking across trickling streams and deep crevices. Meanwhile, artisanal imbibing has emerged as a more modern draw, with dozens of distilleries, breweries, and wineries offering weekly live music on sprawling lawns shaded by trees. We down Tex-Mex-inspired beers at Twisted X Brewing Company, play outdoor games at Bell Springs Winery and Brewery, and cool down with house-made seltzers at Fitzhugh Brewing, while watching groups continually hop on and off shuttle buses that parade along the trail of watering holes. With each passing stop, amid the sound of crickets and the country breeze, you can practically feel the city float farther from the horizon. Settle on in. Cap Lucy, a beacon of luxury just beyond town, sits down a winding road surrounded by open pastures. The 282-acre resort blends into its rustic surroundings, with accommodations providing hill country views. A longtime antiques dealer, Whit, along with his wife, Kim, gave the property new life with worldly influences, like a historic chapel transported piece by piece from Vietnam and a centuries-old Amish barn that was once part of the Underground Railroad and has been lovingly repurposed into a banquet hall. Kim, who met her husband when he was first reassembling the imported Vietnamese structure, says, "It started as a folly on a family ranchette. If you're expecting bright lights, zero bugs, and manicured gardens, this might not be your place. But if you're looking for stars, songbirds, and something real, you'll love it." Enter through towering turquoise doors that are over a century old. The hotel's farm-to-table restaurant, Tilly's, is a culinary destination in its own right. We choose from a menu of hyper-seasonal dishes showcasing vegetables and meats bought locally and then scoot up to the salvaged antique bar for dessert and one more round of chili-rimmed margaritas. "Where we shine isn't about white gloves and stiff service," adds Kim. "It's about thoughtful, one-of-a-kind moments." Well-appointed wilderness stays are also catering to travelers looking for more immersive getaways. Lucy Arrow Retreat, made up of 40 individually styled cabins and yurts. Ah, that's what we were looking at in that photo that I called a hexagonal tent, listeners, yurts. Yurts brings in the community with pop-up parties hosted outdoors and convenient walkability to a winery next door for guests. With 46 acres of sweeping panoramas and 10 private lodgings, the Yurtopian, that's Y-U-R-T-O-P-I-N, a play on yurt, Yurtopian Dripping Springs provides visitors dawn and dusk views from private rooftop decks. These remote locales all serve as ideal home bases for exploring the hill country's many nooks, including a day trip just 13 miles away to Driftwood, a blip of the town with a population of 106 and just enough square mileage to explore it in a few hours. Once a busy 19th century supply town for area farmers, it nearly faded into a ghost village when the state's railway boom bypassed it. In recent years, it has reemerged as a tiny hub with its own knack for hospitality. We indulge in ranch waters at Desert Door Distillery, where you can learn about Texas's native liquor known as Sotol, S-O-T-O-L. Then we order a hefty tray of smoked meats from the Salt Lick Barbecue, a lauded 59-year-old establishment with roaring open fire pits, before winding down with scoops of house-made gelato from the counter at Trattoria Licina, a scenic restaurant nestled among grapevines that supply the neighboring Dutchman family winery. From our picnic table at the barbecue joint, we overhear a couple visiting from Houston debating which spots to check out, and which spots to check out next while all the way out here. Inspired by Dripping Springs' friendly faces, I lean over and I offer them a few suggestions. And listeners, we'll have to get to our barbecue legends next episode, because we've just got a couple of minutes left. So I will tell you about this full-page photo, a canyon tour at West Cave Outdoor Discovery Center. And it's dripping. The limestone appears to be almost in motion. It's dripping in, appears to be dripping, but it seems to have been fossilized in these dripping formations. And it is covered, capped with lots and lots of greenery. And there's even moss and some fern leaves even growing out of the limestones to our sides. And there's a man with a backpack and baseball cap with brown trousers and a brown long sleeve shirt and a green neckerchief. This appears to be the man we saw walking on the limestone with a child not too long ago, although we only see his back here. And he is looking up because it's a very high cliff of limestone that he is exploring. And there's a shovel just beside him. Or is that a shovel? Oh, no, excuse me. That's a fence. It's fenced in. So this appears to be a guided tour, some paths. Looks nice and cool and looks like it smells very fresh and verdant in there. And there's also a photo of some smoked meats at the Salt Lick Barbecue. And they are sliced. There's that sausage. Might be that blueberry sausage someone mentioned. Don't know. There's lots of sliced meats and a couple of beers in green bottles. Or maybe sodas. Fizzy sodas in green bottles. And that, listeners, is our time for today. We hope that you've enjoyed this episode of Southern Living, and we hope you'll join us next time. I'm Joanna LaForgia, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Southern Living is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Again, that's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.